Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, August 6, 2019. Coming up this hour,
global stocks are whipsawed as the U.S. labels China a currency manipulator.
Beijing surprises traders with a stronger-than-expected fix for the yuan.
U.S. futures bounce back from a nearly 2% slide while Treasury yields rebound and the yen weakens.
President Trump will visit El Paso, Texas tomorrow after the recent mass shootings, plus a warning from China over U.S. missiles. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stasher in sports. The Red Hot Mets are over 500. They swept a doubleheader from the Marlins. The Yankees blew a lead, rallied late, and won in Baltimore.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stocks are higher, or futures, rather, are higher this morning after U.S. stocks recorded their biggest drop of the year. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 26 points, Dow futures up 225, and NASDAQ futures up 81. The DAX in Germany up 0.7%, CAC in Paris up 0.9%, and the FTSE 100 is up almost 0.1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan was down 0.7%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong down about the same. 10-year Treasury down 14/32nds, yield 1.75%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.59%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.6% or 30 cents at $54.99 a barrel. COMEX gold little change, down 60 cents to $14.75.80 an ounce. The euro 1.1202 against the dollar and the yen 106.37. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with the latest escalation in the trade war. The U.S. is formally labeling China a currency manipulator after Beijing allowed the yuan to weaken past 7 per dollar. We get more from Joe Sobchak in our Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
From a practical standpoint, there are no penalties that are immediately imposed because of this, but this is a significant escalation and gives China less of a chance to back down and is making clear that President Trump is ready to double down on this trade conflict with China.
The move shocked markets, with S&P futures falling nearly 2%. They reversed course overnight, though, as China stabilized its currency with a stronger-than-expected daily fixing. Bloomberg's rate strategist David Finnerty.
I think the yuan fixing today was definitely what the market was focused on without question. There's a lot of volatility going into it, and so when it came out stronger than expected, the market was very happy with that. Moving forward, I think the PBOC will maintain a very steady to slightly strong fixing. I wouldn't be surprised if they wanted to get dollar offshore yuan back under 7. I think they certainly want to reassert control and let the market know that, hey, we can control this. Now, of course, if President Trump does exacerbate things, shall we say, that may change.
Now, China is denying it manipulates the yuan, saying recent depreciation was decided by the market. Checking the offshore currency right now, it's trading at 7.0699 per dollar.
And while the stronger fixing helped boost sentiment, it wasn't enough to stem losses for stocks in Asia. And as Bloomberg's Juliet Sally reports, that yuan's strength weighed on Japan's currency. And she joins us now from Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. That saw the yen tumble by more than 1%, its biggest drop in a month, while treasuries and gold also declined. The Nikkei 225 closed lower by 0.7% in Tokyo as the yen weakened after earlier being down by almost 3%. Australian stocks had the biggest fall in the region. The ASX 200 down the most since October, off 2.4% in Sydney. In Hong Kong, stocks fell for a 10th session, with the MSCI Hong Kong Index on track for its longest losing streak since 1984. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sarley, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thanks. As the rhetoric on trade ramps up, currency strategists worry the U.S. could move to weaken the dollar. Zach Pandel is head of FX strategy at Goldman Sachs.
Intervention is a rising risk in the U.S. I think there's really no doubt about that. And although the president and his advisors seem to have rejected the idea a couple of weeks ago, if we continue to see a mix of slower U.S. growth and a stronger dollar, and perhaps a Fed that's not interested in cutting rates more aggressively, then I think you can't entirely rule out FX intervention.
While White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow says there are no such plans, President Trump said he hasn't ruled out measures to counter dollar strength.
Some see China's $1.1 trillion of U.S. debt as another pressure point in the trade war, and Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie reports from Beijing.
There is a mounting pile of U.S. dollar-denominated debt owned by Chinese corporations. And, of course, if you have a weaker yuan versus the U.S. dollar, then that puts that debt under pressure, and how they pay that off will be in focus as well. It's more than doubled that holding of U.S. dollar-denominated debt since 2015.
China has already been trimming some of its treasury holdings. They're now at the lowest level in about 2 years.
Outside of Asia, stocks are stabilizing this morning, though volatility remains high. Some strategists now see trade concerns sending U.S. stocks into correction territory. Mona Mahajan is U.S. investment strategist at Allianz Global Investors.
If we can get through some data that shows us this will not impact the consumer, that the U.S. is not going to go into recession, perhaps we're looking at a run-of-the-mill correction. If not, if we are getting into more systemic risk, potential recession is closer than we think, then we're looking at something a little bit more severe here.
Right now, the S&P 500 is down 6% from its July 26th peak.
Bets on rate cuts from the Federal Reserve are picking up steam, with markets now seeing a 67% chance of a cut in September. Fed Governor Lyle Brainard is among central bank officials keeping an eye on financial markets.
We're committed to sustaining the expansion, and I'm certainly monitoring developments for their implications for the outlook, and I'll continue to be very attentive.
Traders now see 50 basis points of easing from the Fed by October, and Goldman Sachs expects the central bank to cut rates 3 times this year.
Now, still, there is somewhat of a bright spot in the global economy this morning, with factory orders in Germany coming in better than expected. They rose 2.5% in June compared to estimates for a 0.5% gain. We get more from Bloomberg's Danny Berger.
So they weren't as poor as some had expected. I mean, expectations pretty low for Germany at this moment, given the manufacturing recession we've seen. But they don't give an overly optimistic picture that I think will really change any investor's view going into tomorrow's data, as well as GDP that we get next week.
Now, the data we get tomorrow is industrial production for June out of Germany. A week later, we get the latest reading on growth in the second quarter. Futures in the U.S. are moving higher this morning. S&P futures up 24.5 points. Dow futures up 213. NASDAQ futures up 73. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg. At 6:07 on Wall Street, Michael Barr has the latest world and national news. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Trump plans to visit El Paso, Texas after a weekend massacre at a Walmart. The death toll climbed to 22 yesterday. El Paso residents and local Democratic leaders say President Trump is not welcome and should stay away because his divisive words are partly to blame. But El Paso Mayor Dee Margo says he talked to the president and Trump was gracious in the phone call.
Was a brief call and nothing overly specific. I made no request at that time. I said, we're waiting to see what settles. He's coming out here on Wednesday.
Meanwhile, vigils were held last night in El Paso and in Dayton, Ohio, where 9 people were killed in Sunday's mass shooting. The Trump administration is taking aim at social media and video games in the wake of the twin mass shootings. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The president said the games foment hate. He was backed up by his HUD secretary, Ben Carson.
When we substitute real human-to-human relationships with these artificial relationships through electronic means, it kind of dehumanizes other people. And when you dehumanize people, it makes it much easier for you to see them as things and therefore to shoot them.
Carson appeared exclusively on Bloomberg Sound On with Kevin Cirilli. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
China says it will not stand idly by and will take countermeasures if the U.S. deploys intermediate-range missiles in the Asia-Pacific region, which it plans to do within months. China's remarks follow the U.S.'s withdrawal from an arms control treaty, raising concerns of a potential arms race. Cesar Sayoc, the Florida man who mailed pipe bombs to critics of President Trump, was sentenced to 20 years in prison. Sayoc sent bombs to high-profile Democrats, including former President Obama and Hillary Clinton. New global data shows last month was the hottest July ever recorded. According to the Copernicus Climate Change Service, last month was about 0.7 degrees Fahrenheit hotter than the previous record of July of 2016. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, what a night for the Mets. First, they reached the 500 mark, first time since late May when Jacob deGrom pitched them past the Marlins 6-2, and then they moved over 500, first time since early May when they were 16-15. They trailed Miami 4-2 in the seventh inning, hit three solo home runs, J.D. Davis, and then Michael Conforto went back-to-back with Pete Alonso, and the Mets took the nightcap 5-4. What a turnaround. Mets had that seven-game losing streak in June. They were 11 games under 500 just last month. Mickey Callaway's team has now won 11 of the last 12.
Striving towards our goal. You know, I don't think the guys have ever wavered on that. You know, as tough as it's been us sometimes, they've always come every single day to accomplish our main goal. And we're getting closer. Still have a long, long way to go, but it's fun. The fans are absolutely amazing out there, and hopefully we'll be selling out every game for the next 2 months and do something really special.
Race is on to make the playoffs as a wild card. The Phillies and Nationals both won last night. They're both 2.5 games ahead. Yankees had a 6-1 lead in Baltimore. The Orioles surprisingly rallied to tie with a 5-run sixth inning, but the Yankees then scored 3 in the eighth. They won 9-6. Their sixth straight win, their 13th in a row at Camden Yards, and once again, unlikely heroes. Two home runs from Mike Tauchman. The go-ahead blast by Mike Ford. Austin Romine, Brett Gardner also went yard. Yanks moved 9 games ahead of Tampa Bay. Second time in a week, the Jets fortified their offensive line. First, it was signing Pro Bowl center Ryan Khalil out of retirement. Now they've sent a draft pick to Baltimore for guard Alex Lewis. Jets play the Giants Thursday night. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
John, a $1.9 billion stadium that the Oakland Raiders are going to move into when they move to Las Vegas next year is being named for Allegiant Travel, the publicly traded corporate parent of low-fare carrier Allegiant Air. The Las Vegas Review-Journal says the company's filed to trademark the name Allegiant Stadium. Terms of the agreement weren't made public, but experts tell the Review-Journal the deal might cost up to $25 million a year in cash and in-kind services. Taxpayers are putting up $750 million for that to-be-named Allegiant Stadium. Futures pointing to a higher open on Wall Street this morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check at the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. U.S. futures are rebounding after China took steps to stabilize the yuan. Beijing set its daily fixing stronger than 7 per dollar. President Trump is hitting Venezuela with more sanctions. The White House will freeze assets in the U.S. and curb immigration from the country. North Korea fired more missiles after the U.S. and South Korea began joint military drills. The North says the two countries will pay a heavy price if they continue the exercises. And we get earnings from Disney after the close of U.S. trading. The company's new Star Wars attraction and the success of Avengers Endgame should boost third quarter results. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
All right, Hannah, thank you. S&P futures up 24 points. Dow futures up 206. NASDAQ futures up 72. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 11/32. The yield 1.74%. Yield on the 2-year 1.59%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.4% or 22 cents at $54.91 a barrel. And COMEX gold, little change, down 80 cents at $14.75.70 an ounce. The euro, 1.1195 against the dollar, and the yen is at 106.40. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump will visit El Paso tomorrow after a mass shooting that authorities say was carried out by a white supremacist. News of the planned visit has been met with mixed response in a city still reeling from an attack at Walmart on Saturday that killed 22 people. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine plans to outline proposals today designed to deal with gun violence and mental health just days after a gunman killed 9 people in Dayton. China warned that the U.S. and its Asia-Pacific allies risked countermeasures if they accepted the deployment of intermediate-range American missiles. In baseball, the Yankees down the Orioles 9-6. The Mets won a doubleheader against the Marlins. The Red Sox won. The Nationals beat the Giants 4-zip. The A's lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Coming up to 6:20 on Wall Street now, and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. We're joined now by Richard Jones, FX and rate strategist on the Bloomberg Markets Live team. Good morning, Richard.
Morning,
imagine
Nathan.
You're watching the offshore yuan this morning after it weakened past 7 per dollar. The fix is much stronger than that this morning, but hasn't moved back below 7 at this point. Do you see that happening anytime soon?
Well, I think what today's fixing sort of lends to the market is a little bit of stability after what has been a pretty abrupt move yesterday. And I think it is that stability that is filtering into other markets. So we're seeing that European equities are trading higher today. We've seen U.S. equity futures trade a little bit higher today after the sharp sell-off yesterday. So this little bit of stability is sort of filtering out to other markets. Now, it kind of feels a little bit like the calm after the storm, or maybe the calm between storms. And so I don't think this is over by any means. I think that we will get more volatility going forward. But for today, at least, I think the stability that this shows specifically in the dollar China fix has filtered out to other markets, and it's led to a little bit of calmness today versus yesterday's sort of frantic price action.
So then, do you think that 7 per dollar is no longer that line in the sand for China?
Well, I guess having broken it yesterday, the line in the sand, it's not as solid as it was, and I think it'll become something that will remain a focal point for markets. But yesterday, I think, was significant, and I think that it is part and parcel of the broader sort of trade narrative that's going on between both countries, and that the currency will be one of the weapons that's employed.
Does that include the U.S.? I mean, President Trump hasn't exactly taken currency intervention off the table on his side.
Yeah, I don't think he has taken it off the table, and I would refuse to rule anything out right now. I think that it could be something that the White House decides to go forward with. I think that certainly the volatility that we've seen in the markets, not only yesterday but in sort of recent weeks, has meant that the Fed is now much more in play. I think that there's a lot more easing to come from the Fed. The market is certainly pricing that. You know, we're looking at Treasury yields. I was just looking at a chart before I came on to speak with you. And if you look at the 10-year yield, we're only about 40 basis points above the lows that we saw in 2016, which immediately followed the UK referendum on Brexit. And that's got to be a target for anybody who's long 10-year US futures right now. So I think we're looking at probably another 40 basis points of downside in the 10-year, but the 2-year, I mean, if you go back to the same period in time, was trading at 50 basis points, which is about 100 basis points, 110 basis points lower than we are right now. So there's still a lot of upside for US rates, or downside in yields. Mm-hmm. And if that happens, then I think that we could see that feeding into a weaker dollar.
In our last minute or so here, I know you're watching the pound this morning. Are we in for more volatility for sterling, given a lot of the rhetoric we've heard from Labor leader Corbyn?
Yeah, I think that we're probably going to be in for a little bit of a lull over the next few weeks. But when Parliament returns next month, opposition leader Jeremy Corbyn has said he'll call a vote of no confidence in the government. I think political uncertainty in the UK has been elevated since the referendum 3 years ago. I think it's going to ratchet that little bit higher. And I think as a result, we're going to see sterling volatility head back to levels that we didn't see for the past 3 years.
So what kind of levels are you looking for cable then?
Well, I was looking at euro sterling more specifically because I think that's actually the really clean Brexit trade. That's the way to measure it. And euro sterling volatility could be heading back to, in the 3-month tenor, about 17%. That's what we saw after the referendum in 2016. We're at 13% in the 3 months in December last year. So that's probably the first staging post. But I think eventually we could get as high as that 17% level we saw in July 2016.
Lots of volatility ahead. Richard Jones, FX rate strategist on the Bloomberg Markets Live team. Always good having you on here on Bloomberg Daybreak. And for Bloomberg Terminal customers, you can get more from Richard and the rest of the Markets Live team by typing MLIV Go on the search bar on your Bloomberg Terminal. Taking a look at futures right now, pointing to Bit of a bounce back with S&P futures up 24.5 points now. Dow futures up 210. NASDAQ futures up 73 points. The 10-year down 10/32. The yield there 1.74%. 2-year treasuries 1.58%, close to 1.59. Stay with us for more. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by New York Community Bank. Ask about their My Community Interest Checking with free New York Community Bank online and mobile banking. Earn more, get more. Visit mynycb.com for details.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We are seeing major volatility in futures markets this morning. After dropping nearly 2%, S&P futures are now higher by 0.9%. The turnaround comes as China takes steps to stabilize the yuan after the Trump administration labeled it a currency manipulator. We get more from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Doug Krisner.
No country has had the distinction since the U.S. applied it to China during the Clinton administration. Yesterday's move came after the Chinese yuan broke below 7 against the dollar and the PBOC failed to intervene to arrest the weakness. Before the U.S. decision, PBOC Governor Yi Gang said China wouldn't use the foreign exchange as a tool in the trade dispute. But in making the announcement, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said the U.S. will engage the IMF to take away China's unfair trade advantage. I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Doug, thanks. Now, late last night, China fixed its currency rate stronger than 7 per dollar, a key level that, when breached yesterday, helped fuel a sell-off in stocks. Right now, the offshore yuan is trading at 7.0702 per dollar.
The trade dispute is leading to more bets on rate cuts. Goldman Sachs now expects the Fed to cut 3 times this year and no longer expects a trade deal before the 2020 election. Coming up today, St. Louis Fed President James Bullard speaks to the National Press Club in Washington.
On the corporate front, Walt Disney leads nearly 24 companies in the S&P 500 reporting earnings today. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The success of Avengers Endgame, the opening of a new Star Wars attraction, and the strength of ESPN mean that Disney's theatrical, parks, and media networks divisions did well. Bloomberg Intelligence says the big story is still going to be Disney's pending launch of a streaming video service. The direct-to-consumer business will require further investment and depress operating income. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. S&P futures again higher this morning, up 25 points. Dow futures up 219. NASDAQ futures up 76. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6%. CAC in Paris up 0.9%. And the FTSE 100 is little changed. 10-year Treasury down 11/32, yield 1.74%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.59%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 27 cents at $54.96 a barrel. COMEX gold little change down 60 cents to $14.75.80 an ounce. The euro 1.1199 against the dollar. The British pound at 1.2201 and the yen 106.40. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by MBAF, CPAs and advisors dedicated to solving complex tax and accounting challenges, identifying opportunities, and helping businesses maximize profits. Learn more at MBAFCPA.com. Here's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Trump plans to travel to El Paso, Texas tomorrow. He will offer the nation support after Saturday's mass murder in Walmart. President Trump's visit has unnerved some residents and politicians who said his divisive words are partly to blame. The death toll climbed to 22 from Saturday's mass shooting. One of the victims killed was 15-year-old Javier Amir Rodriguez. A vigil was held last night at Horizons High School in El Paso. School Superintendent Dr. Juan Martinez gave a passionate plea.
We may have differences, but there's other ways. There are other ways to address it. Not with violence, not with hate, not our children, Please don't. Not one more.
The vigil was held as well in Dayton, Ohio, where 9 people were killed in Sunday's mass shooting. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders joined Democrats for Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to call for a vote on background check legislation that has passed in the House.
Today, I say to Mitch McConnell, Republican leader in the Senate, stop allowing the NRA to dictate gun policy in America.
Sanders, along with other Democratic presidential candidates, spoke at the UNIDOS U.S. conference in San Diego. Housing and Urban Development Secretary Ben Carson spoke on Bloomberg Sound On with Kevin Zerilli about the latest mass shootings. Carson says this is more important than gaining political points.
We need to recognize that there's something deep going on here. It's not just a matter of guns being available. Guns have been available for hundreds of years. It's what's happening to us as a nation. Where are we now getting our moral compass from?
By the way, you can listen to Sound On weekdays at 5 p.m. on Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington. China warned that the U.S. and its Asia-Pacific allies risked countermeasures if they accepted the deployment of intermediate-range American missiles. China's foreign ministry says that the country will not sit idly by in response to such threats. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, thank you, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, high drama at Citi Field. The Red Hot Mets beat the Marlins 6-2 to open the doubleheader. Med Rosario and Jeff McNeil with home runs to support Jacob DeGrom. He moved to 500 at 7-7. The Mets reached 500, first time since May. And then in the nightcap, Mets trailed Miami 4-2, seventh inning. J.D. Davis homered. So did Michael Conforto. And they were not done.
Tie game, the pitch. Swing and a drive to left. That one's going to go too. Home run, Pete Alonso. And the Mets take the lead.
And they won 5-4. WCBS, the call. Doubleheader sweep gives them 11 wins in 12 games, an over 500 record. First time since they were 16-15 for Alonso. Having the record-setting rookie year, 35 homers, had the victory in the home run derby, although this one, he hopes, snaps him out of a slump.
I mean, anytime you hit a go-ahead homer in a close game, it's a really fun, really cool experience. I'm just really happy that I could really contribute today because this past month it's been kind of rough, but ever since Mercury came out of retrograde, I think I'm okay.
Slump was due to the movement of another planet. Speaking of home runs, Yankees hit 5. They have set a major league record, 32 home runs in one visiting ballpark. 32 in only 8 games in Baltimore. They won 9-6, their 6th straight win, 13th in a row at Camden Yards. Mike Tauchman continues to deliver. He went yard twice. Also, Austin Romine, Brett Gardner, and rookie Mike Ford. His blast in the 8th inning snapped a 6-all tie. Jonathan Villar hit for the cycle for the Orioles. The Jets have acquired guard Alex Lewis from Baltimore. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. Now back to our top story this morning. U.S. futures rebounding after the biggest one-day drop for U.S. stocks this year. Right now, S&P futures are higher by nearly 1% after yesterday's almost 3% drop for the index. Here with more on the sell-off is Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
More than $700 billion was wiped from the value of American equities, with the S&P 500 index plunging 3%, and all but 11 companies in the gauge traded lower. Losses in the Dow Jones Industrial Average surpassed 700 points as Apple and IBM slid by at least 4%, and the SIBO Volatility Index surged about 40%. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thanks. As we're seeing this morning, it is quite a different story with U.S. futures following European stocks higher, Treasury yields rebounding as well, and the Japanese yen is weakening. 6:38 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
Nestled in the foothills of Washington's Cascade Mountains, the bustling Seattle suburb of Issaquah seems an unlikely candidate for anxiety over wildfires. The region, famous for its rainfall, has long escaped major burns, even as global warming has driven an increase in the size and number of wildfires elsewhere in the American West. But according to experts, previously too wet to burn parts of the Pacific Northwest face an increasing risk of significant wildfires due to changes in its climate driven by the same phenomenon. Global warming is bringing higher temperatures, lower humidity, and longer stretches of drought. And the region is uniquely exposed to the threat, with property owners who are often less prepared for fire than those in drier places, and more homes tucked along strong forests than any other western state, with few roads leading out. And experts say even a modest increase in contributing factors, like days without rain, could make them much more prone to burning. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. 6:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg editorial board. Donald Trump recently said that the U.S. would impose new tariffs on an additional $300 billion worth of Chinese goods on September 1st, unless China accedes to his demands. The president's logic is simple. He thinks that China is playing for time. Yet new tariffs are no more likely to produce the deal Trump seeks than his previous rounds have, and the downsides of this strategy remain considerable. The cost of tariffs, of course, are paid by U.S. consumers and businesses, not China. Meanwhile, American manufacturers have been forced to realign their supply chains at great expense. The U.S. has legitimate complaints about China's economic behavior. Beijing should be helped to spin concessions on those issues as being in China's best interest, as many, in fact, would be. But issuing unrealistic demands and painting any prospective compromise as a surrender will only stiffen Chinese resistance. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg editorial board. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. As we've mentioned, S&P futures are higher by 26.5 points now. Dow futures up 223, NASDAQ futures up 81 points. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Bernstein Medical. Losing your hair? Learn how Bernstein Medical uses your own hair to create natural, permanent results. Explore BernsteinMedical.com or visit their Manhattan Center. Bernstein Medical, a world leader in robotic hair transplants.
It's headlines and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are rising this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. Like you said, U.S. futures are bouncing after yesterday's sell-off, with Dow futures up 229 points, S&P's climbed by 28, and NASDAQ futures rise by 85. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.74%. Gold is a little changed, and Shanghai fell 1.6% overnight, but paired losses of 3.1%. European markets are also climbing right now, led by gains in Germany and France. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 10 o'clock, JOLTS job openings. After the bell last night, Shake Shack comp sales beat estimates. Take-Two boosted its forecast. Shares are up 8% in the pre-market. And Bill Ackman is set to exit positions in United Technologies and ADP. In other news, Mallinckrodt suspended the planned spinoff of its generics business. And Goldman Sachs now expects the Fed to cut three times in total this year. Wrapping things up, Exxon was upgraded to hold over at DZ Bank. And Ford upgraded to overweight over at Morgan Stanley. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, anger is growing over the Senate's lack of action on gun control following the mass shootings over the weekend in Dayton, Ohio, and El Paso, Texas. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi privately urged House Democrats to stay focused on Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell in their push to enact sweeping background check legislation. 6 weeks after President Trump took his historic first steps into North Korea, talks with Kim Jong-un appear to be back on the verge of collapse. North Korea's foreign ministry says the regime will take, quote, new road if Washington does not compromise. In baseball, the Yankees down the Orioles. The Mets won a doubleheader against the Marlins. The Red Sox won. The Nationals beat the Giants. The A's lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the Treasury Department labeling China a currency manipulator as the trade war continues. St. Louis Fed President James Bullard speaks today at the National Press Club, and after condemning racism and calling for mental health reforms following the mass shootings in El Paso and Dayton, President Trump has no official events on his schedule today, though he will reportedly travel to those cities tomorrow. Gun violence and how to prevent it remain top of mind in the wake of the back-to-back mass shootings. And for more, we are joined by Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Good morning, Kate. As Michael mentioned, anger over the Senate's lack of action is building among Democrats on Capitol Hill. Are we seeing that play out among voters?
Well, I think definitely among certain segments of voters. And one of the segments that we should be watching closely are suburban women voters who they're among the groups that tended to break a bit more strongly in 2018 towards Democrats. And that helped fuel Democrats' takeover of the House 2 years ago. And so or last year. And so I think that, you know, that is a group that, according to polling, is very much opposed to very much in favor, I guess, of enacting stronger gun laws and has some negative views of Republicans' opposition to that. And so I think there's some concern out there among Republicans that that particular demographic could end up breaking against them in 2020 in the congressional races and also in key House districts that could be essential for the presidential race. So I think that's both a demographic and an area to watch going forward.
Yeah, it will be interesting to watch, especially given that from what we heard from the president yesterday from the White House Roosevelt Room, he didn't sound as though he was particularly open to major changes in gun regulations.
No, he absolutely didn't. He focused a lot more on other causes that he prescribed as causes to gun violence, things like violent video games. He talked about red flag laws and the need to improve them, perhaps even a federal type of red flag law. This would be the type of laws that states have already enacted that intend to try to make sure that people who are experiencing mental health crises aren't able to come into contact with guns or purchase guns. Those obviously, have some limitations, but certainly that would be something that I think gun control advocates could be part of a broader scheme to make increase gun control. But, the president didn't talk about the types of core things that Democrats are talking about, which are universal background checks, similar to the bill that the House passed earlier this year. That's the one that that Democrats in the House and Democrats in the Senate are basically demanding that that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell take up. Things like that, things like reinstating the assault weapons ban that expired in 2004. So those are some of the things, banning high-capacity magazines. Those are some of the things that gun control advocates would really like to see happen, and we haven't heard Trump embrace any of those things yet.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds as though we're hearing a lot of the same talking points on both sides whenever a mass shooting like this happens. And every time it does happen, we tend to ask ourselves, whether this latest incident is an inflection point. When you're talking about back-to-back mass shootings over one weekend, I mean, is that what you're looking for here, whether this could be that inflection point that the past incidents haven't been?
I mean, I think that's certainly the question on everyone's mind right now. I think that one of the interesting aspects is, if you do talk to some Republicans privately, it seems as though potentially there's an openness that wasn't there before to taking some more concrete steps like universal background checks. We heard Lindsey Graham say publicly over the weekend that that's something that he could potentially support. And so I think that, it puts Republicans in a bit of a difficult position when the president hasn't embraced these things. I think it would be interesting to see, potentially what kind of sort of under the radar pressure Trump comes under from fellow Republicans to take some more concrete steps towards actual gun control, supporting that type of legislation.
And I imagine that's going to make these possible visits that the president makes to El Paso and Dayton tomorrow all the more interesting. I mean, we haven't gotten any crystal clear indication that those visits are actually going to happen yet, have we?
No, we don't know that for certain, but it seems as though that's what the indications have been. I think, in these types of situations, I wouldn't be surprised if the president went and met privately with some of the people who were injured in the attacks. That's something that we typically see on these types of visits. But I think it'll be interesting to see what kind of, you know, an audience he encounters and how much he might interact, you know, with people on the ground who've experienced these tragedies and see what kind of feedback that provides him with and whether that leads to any changes in the president's thinking.
And in the meantime, we've already seen how this has reshaped the Democratic presidential race. We've heard from former El Paso Congressman Beto O'Rourke reacting to this. And now word this morning that Cory Booker is going to be talking about guns and white supremacy at Mother Emanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina, where 9 people were killed in a mass shooting a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and I think for someone like Cory Booker, this could provide a real opportunity in a state like South Carolina that's an early primary state that has a high minority population, that is more conservative when it comes to guns, but did, you know, was the site of this tragedy several years ago. I think this certainly is an opportunity not to sound, you know, nakedly political about it, but this is an opportunity for Booker to raise his profile on an issue that's front and center on the national stage right now. And that's certainly the type of breakout moment that candidates like Booker have been looking for.
And we should note this morning that Michael Bloomberg, owner of Bloomberg Radio parent company, Bloomberg LP, founded and helps fund Everytown for Gun Safety. That's a nonprofit that advocates for gun violence prevention measures. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you as always. And you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal, and follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. It is coming up to 6:56 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Brian Chapata, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. The U.S. dollar is the reserve currency of the world and has been the cornerstone of the global financial system for decades. Except for a few extraordinary circumstances, elected officials have never stepped in to manage its value and have committed to a strong dollar policy. That long-standing tradition may no longer apply. President Donald Trump says he hasn't ruled out intervening in currency markets to weaken the dollar. It would be one thing if it were just Trump, but even Elizabeth Warren has called for actively managing the dollar to bolster U.S. jobs and growth. And just last week, a bipartisan bill was introduced that would seek to control the U.S. dollar's exchange rate. Fiddling with that equilibrium is a dangerous game. The last thing the world needs is a U.S.-led race to the bottom in currencies. Whether you think China is a full-fledged manipulator or not, America needn't stoop to that level. A reliable dollar, free from intervention, is part of what makes the U.S. exceptional. I'm Brian Chapata. For more opinion, please go to BloombergOpinion.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. We are watching earnings crossing the Bloomberg. Among the companies you've been hearing from, Dean Foods reported a second quarter adjusted loss per share that was wider than analysts were looking for, and Duke Energy beating analyst estimates in the second quarter. Futures are higher right now. S&P futures up 23 points, Dow futures up 195, NASDAQ futures up 69, 10-year Treasury down 10/32nds, yield 1.74%, the yield on the 2-year 1.58%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.25% or 15 cents at $54.84 a barrel. And COMEX gold is little changed at $14.76.20 an ounce. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow straight ahead. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.